In the name of Jesus, today, my friends, we have what is commonly called the parable of the talents. It could also be the parable of the three servants, I guess you could say, or the parable of the master who gets what he wants under any and all circumstances. We look at this and we look at our own lives, because Jesus is drawing a comparison to how we use the gifts that he gives us throughout our lives and comparing it to the end of time. The whole 25th chapter is about the kingdom of heaven. It's about the end of the world. It's about the end of time. It's about entry into the new creation. It's about being right with God here so that we can be with God forevermore. Like Paul was saying in today's epistle, we don't dare snooze. That doesn't mean that we don't go to sleep at night, but we don't drop down into the darkness of sin that fills this world. Even sleeping in our beds, we are awake in Christ, in His light. We don't hide. We don't skulk around in the darkness. We don't slip around, peeking around corners. But awake or asleep, at home or away, we live boldly and cleanly and purely in His name. So today, the master comes to his servants and he gives them a big chunk of money. A talent, well, what's that mean? We only talk about talents these days as the ability to do something with numbers or to shoot a basketball or to hit a ball over a fence or to do one of a number of other things, sewing, cooking, or whatever. But here, the word talent that comes to us from the scriptures is a specific weight. And a talent of silver weighed out was about 20 years' wages for your average laborer. Your ditch digger, your shepherd, your person who did necessary but not highly rewarding tasks. Not for a skilled artisan perhaps, but still, 20 years' wages in one chunk, which means that the first servant gets about 100 years worth of what the average Joe would earn. The other one gets 40 years worth, and the final one still gets the 20. What do they do with it? It's not theirs. The master says, take care of my money, of my possessions, while I'm gone. He entrusted to them his property. He's counting on them. And so he goes and leaves. They don't know when he's coming back. He doesn't tell them, and so it is with Jesus. He ascended into heaven. We just confessed in the creed, but we don't confess when he's coming back because he hasn't told us. The Father has not revealed it. The Holy Spirit hasn't given us a special little message, even though there are people who are always saying, well, the world's going to end on such and such a day. How many hundreds, how many thousands of those predictions have there been? And not one of them has been right yet. We just keep what He has given us invested. Our lives, our talents, our treasure, our abilities, involved in this world as Christians. Because our Master will return, but we don't know when. And these passages over the last few Sundays of the church here remind us that He comes back both to call the believers home and also to judge those who deny Him, who refuse His gifts, who are slothful and lazy and disobedient, and who don't trust in His mercy, but rather fear Him. The first servant doubles his master's account. The second servant doubles his master's account. The third servant is worried that his master will be upset with him. Sometimes we're worried. How many times have you said or thought or heard another Christian say, well, I don't really know what to say in matters of the faith? Are you afraid that Jesus is going to be upset because you didn't get every detail quite right? Are you afraid that Jesus is going to be upset because you forgot to mention the resurrection before you jumped from his crucifixion to his ascension? Are you afraid that somebody is going to start poking holes in your story? Well, it's not your story, it's Jesus' story. And if you skip over, you can always go back. If you tell it well or poorly, the person who is open to hearing it will listen, and God's word will do what God's word will do. Same also, are you worried that you might be rebuked for doing good to somebody who has troubles, who has needs, who has wants, who has worries? Why? God's not going to be upset with you if you gave one thing and somebody needed something else. All of those things are our investment in the kingdom. God has blessed each one of us differently, but God has blessed all of us, not only for our own lives, for our own health, for our own safety, for our own families, but He has blessed us with the ability to be blessings to others. But most of all, He has blessed us with knowing Jesus, not only for ourselves, not only for our husbands, for our wives, for our children, but knowing Jesus so that the people around us can know Jesus. Can know Him by our words, yes, but also by our deeds, by our love, by our care, by our kindness, by our willingness to listen, to learn, and to love. And we shouldn't be worried that we're going to screw something up, because we already know we're going to. We're weak and sinful human beings. Any one of these servants could have invested poorly, could have put a bunch of the money on a ship that sank. And maybe when you look at this, if you give somebody 100 years worth of wages, he's probably not going to put all of that in one. But it is going to spread out. And some of that investment is going to fail. But a good investment strategy, we all know about diversification. We also diversify how we invest God's word. We don't just pick one person and work on them for their entire life, for our entire life. We don't just do one thing, have the same story, do the same good deeds over and over. We find different ways to meet the needs and the wants of different people at different times. Some of it succeeds masterfully, although we don't always see it. How many people came to faith because someone in a previous generation started the process, and it was only someone in the next generation who saw results? Missionaries worked sometimes for decades in areas with hardly a convert. But by God's word continually working, the next one who comes in sees a big harvest. So what the results are that we see aren't important. It's what God sees. What God wants to see most of all is how you take what you have and use it. Because you can invest God's word, God's will, God's love in this world and not see anything, and maybe He won't see anything either. But that doesn't excuse us from trying. We have too much to keep for ourselves. And it's too rich to hide. And if God's word, if those talents are lost in this world, maybe they'll pop up found someplace else. But if we bury them, if we hide them away, if we play hermit, if we refuse to speak the love of God in Christ Jesus, if we refuse to live that love for friend and stranger alike, if we bury that talent, then we aren't giving it any chance to get out in the world and work. And that's where the judgment falls. On those who've been blessed and refused the blessing. On those who know God loves them and refuse to love other people. Those who know of Jesus Christ and Him crucified and won't talk about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Who know that on the last day the Lord's going to raise up all the dead and join them with those still living? And all the believers will join Him then in everlasting joy. And just keep that little message to themselves. Like Christianity's a private club with a limited membership. When God would open it to everyone. And does open it to everyone who believes. What's your investment strategy? You can't put everything in one pocket, one purse, one bank, and one stock, and one bond. Banks fail. Companies come and go. Even cities and states and national governments go bankrupt sometimes. So we spread it around. And we make sure that some here and some there and some over there all joins together so that we have more when we start than when we finish. We invest for our retirement. We invest for the sake of those who come after us. We invest so that we aren't paupers begging on street corners after we're unable to work on our own. God invests both in us and through us so that others have wealth, so that others have privilege, so that others aren't outside on the last day in the outer darkness weeping and gnashing their teeth because they can't get in because we didn't open our mouths, because we didn't open our hearts. Because we didn't invest God's word, God's love, God's peace and joy in them. As God did in us. Through our pastors, through our parents, through our teachers, through others who loved Jesus and loved us. What is your investment strategy? Come to church, fill up the tank, and then go home and not do anything with it? You do that with a vehicle, and eventually that gas is just going to draw too much liquid to it. It's going to start getting thicker. And finally, it won't run your car because it's like sludge trying to go through it. And yeah, we have additives we can put in that will keep it going for a time, but finally, if you let your gasoline sit around long enough, it'll be as thick as motor oil. No, we pour it in, we use it, we get where we're going, and then we put some more in. We invest in our transportation. We don't just take money in because we've got to go out. We've got to buy groceries. We've got to buy clothes. We need to pay our utilities because we don't want to live in a cold, dark house. Stark naked and no food. With the wealth that you have, that you use that way, parallels the wealth that you have in God. You don't want to starve yourself and you don't want to starve other people. Because if you hoard everything like a miser, even what you have will finally spoil. Thieves will break in and steal it. Moths will come in and eat it. The rats and the mice will get in your pantry. The food in the cans and the jars will eventually go bad and it might even poison you. So we rotate that stock. We keep things coming in. God comes in fresh and we take God out fresh and use Him and give Him and love one another as He has loved us. What's your investment strategy? May it be Jesus in and Jesus out. I forgive you. You forgive others. The peace and the joy that you have by knowing that you are God's little lamb, that you are someone He loves so much that He hung Jesus on the cross to die for you, is the same peace and love that you can give and share with others, investing in them. Because God valued you enough to send His Son to suffer and die, but He also valued them enough to send His Son to suffer and die. And everybody you know and everybody you don't know is every bit as important as you are to Him. And He wants you to know that and treat them like that and love them like that, just as He has loved you. So there's not any fault of yours if they end up on the outside looking in. Because we only can give. We can't teach them. We can't make them use it the way God wants to. Invest wisely. Invest in prayer. Invest in praise. Invest in family and friends. Invest in the world around you. Loving, caring, serving. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The peace that surpasses understanding keep you in Christ Jesus. Amen.